but in principles, in concepts. It's how we see things, whether we see the glass half full or half empty. It's very important. Our perceptions of God is very important because it helps us to define in chapter 6 our freedom in God. Our freedom in God. So we talked about tonight in chapter 6, the top priority of leadership. The top priority of leadership. So on page 147. We'll kind of skip around some things, but we'll eventually cover the whole chapter. Said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 is the NIV version. So that is your meditation scripture for the night. That would be your meditation scripture for the night. Understanding our liberty, our freedom in God is going to be very important because God does not want us to operate in fear. Fear, again, the spirit of fear brings torment. The Bible talks about having godly fear. He's talking about having reverence, respect, and honor for God. It's not a fear that we need to run and hide, or we're too scared to come in God's presence. Or every second, I got to fear sin. Or am I thinking sin? Am I doing sin? It brings a torment and not a liberty in God. But God has called us into liberty, and that's for we need to walk in that freedom and understand our freedom in God, even in understanding leaderships, the protocols in leadership, and how to honor those who are in the leadership. That we're not supposed to walk in fear of them. Yes, they're not there to punish us. They're here to help us understand who we are. Yes, and how to walk in the liberty God has called us into. And understand how to walk in our gifts and our callings and our empowerment. That's what they're here for. And so a lot of times we're coming to understand that sometimes it seems like we're being controlled. The spirit of control. Leaders are not given to us to bring us on a spirit of control, to control us. They're here to empower us in our liberty. So we got to always think that way, that apostle, though he's apostle over a number of churches and a number of pastors, over 130-something pastors and ministers, he is not controlling us. We have the freedom of choice. We can walk away from LTMA anytime we get ready, because it's not a spirit of control, it's the power of choice. Yes, sir. Make that note, it's the power of choice. Your liberty is a power of choice, not a power of control. Yes, my liberty is a power of choice, not the power of control. Be very important, you know, get that in your spirit, because as you begin to walk up the ladder and walk more in the things of God, you're going to need to be able to identify the difference. Identify the difference as a pastor and as a apostle and prophet and evangelist and teacher. You're not in position or called by God to control people. Yes, if you really want a job, just start trying to control people. Mm-hmm. That is a job. Right. Very stressful job, matter of fact. So we're not called for that. Okay. Number one, it says Thomas Jefferson is credited with saying, free people are the most difficult to lead. It is extremely pertinent for church leaders because free people are precisely the group they are called to lead. Right. You have to understand you're called to lead free people who carry the power of choice. Mm-hmm. The power of choice. And I know many times people sometimes choose to not come to church, miss Bible studies, miss prayer service, and a lot of times we are leaders, sometimes we're echoed, you know, y'all need to make sure y'all make it to church, you need to stop whatever you're doing, using YouTube as your cycle of church, you need to come to church, and we echo that, because Paul said, forsake that assembly yourselves together, in such manner as many as already have done. So our power is in our covenant, our power is in our unification, in our gathering, You know, but even, but as leaders, we must not frustrate ourselves, you know, with those who choose not to. It's good to give them information, tell them about what they're doing, but still, it has to be in the power of their choice. And they have to know that coming to church is in their best interest. It's not, I'm not trying to control you, but because you are a Christian, one of your responsibilities is fellowshipping with the body of Christ. That's a responsibility of Christianity. But sometimes people don't understand. They think we're trying to control them. No, we want you to have your power of choice. Okay, so let's move to the next paragraph. Matter of fact, let me give you the 1 through 5 right quickly. Matter of fact, let me do that because it's a lot of information here we're going to cover. Okay, go to page 154 quickly. So we did number 1, and also we've done number 2, which is Thomas Jefferson's credit with sin. That's number 2. I don't know if I told you that or not, but it is. Okay, number 3 is the last paragraph on page 154. He said, I want to propose that the goal of God's leadership in our lives, and consequently, the goal of church leaders, is to create a safe place for us to discover who we are and why we are here. The goal of leadership is to help you discover who you are and why you are here. At the same time, creating a safe place for you to discover that. To discover that. Now, Apostle mentioned something tonight with us in class. He mentioned about the message of grace shortly, but he mentioned it. He talked about the grace message that people can wrong to do anything they want to do and say grace got it. Well, there's a thin line there that they're crossing over to cover in not understanding that there are still rules and regulations in the kingdom. And no organization or organism can exist without rules and regulations. It can't. Nowhere on the planet. Everything has a rule. It has a regulation. Guess what would happen if the sun and the moon got confused, which supposed to do what? That would be chaos. The whole world would be off its axis, and we'll be messed up. Okay, so everything has its place. And so we understand that our liberty must not be abused because we're free people. Right. We must not abuse our liberty because we have the power of choice. Yes, there are still rules and regulations. Okay, so here he'll kind of clear that up as we go along, but we want to make sure that everybody understand because I do have the spirit of freedom and my pastor is not here to control me does not mean I still can just run and do what I wanted to do without God's government. There's a kingdom government in place that when we err from the truth that we got to come through back through repentance to get it right with God. If we do not come through repentance, then we are setting ourselves up for a judgment because we didn't do the way God said do it. And it eventually will catch us. Eventually, it'll manifest itself. Okay? So number 3 is the goal of leadership in our lives is consequently the goal of church leaders is to create a safe place for us to discover who we are and why we are here. Number 4, right next to the next statement sentence, a safe place is a place where the fear of misused freedom doesn't get to rise up and intimidate us out of risking trust and love in our relationship with one another. Now, this is a place where I share with you some things about that in the culture, there is what is called self-government, where you have to self-govern yourself. Where I said to you, apostle is not going to follow you home. I'm not going to follow you home. Your pastors are not going to follow you home and watch you every day, watch what your conducts are, to be watched. No, you have the responsibility as a believer to learn what the will of the Lord is and what the regulations of the kingdom are, so that you can self-govern yourself, so when you're not here but you're in Las Vegas on vacation, you know what you're supposed to do. Amen. 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 As a believer. God has given you a conscience, that yet the Spirit of God is in you, so that becomes the conscience that guides you, so that you will know exactly how to behave yourself and conduct yourself no matter where you are, because I am a Christian. I am a believer. And my pastor don't have to be watching me, you know, all my life. I can grow up and mature in the things of God. Now, in that freedom, we'd understand that there are some abuses in freedom. There are some abuses in freedom, but God was willing to take the risk. God was willing to take the risk to trust us with our freedom, the freedom of choice. Because we'll find out later in the teaching that the freedom of choice also give us the right to do wrong. It give us the right to do wrong because it's called the freedom of choice. So I can choose either to obey God and know what the will of God is, and still choose to disobey God, knowing what's right. Eve knew what was right. Adam knew what was right, because God gave them the first order. Don't touch that tree, because the day that you touch it, you're going to die. Okay? So God gave them the order, but yet, even though they knew the truth, they still chose to do the opposite. It's called the freedom of our freedom, our freedom of our choice. Your fathers, your parents tell you what to do, your grandparents tell you what to do, but you still can leave that house and choose to do the different. It's a freedom of choice, but every choice carries a weight of consequences. It carries the weight of consequences. And that's what you got, that's what the law is trying to protect you from, the consequences. You can enjoy all this out here, but don't go over there. Right. But for some reason, even a child, when they come outside in the yard, for some reason, they got to go to the street. Right. And if one of the first things you tell them, don't go in the street. Right. But that's the first one, the first place they want to go. For some reason, it's exciting because you told them not to do it. Okay? They shouldn't do it. And that's some of the first things we do when we start learning kingdom, is the idea in the culture. When the first day we want to see, what are you hiding from me? Why you don't want me to go over there to experience that? You know, and that's what people do in Christianity. They're always going to go on the edge to see why you don't want me to do that. And that's what God's trying to keep us from, because he wants to keep us from the consequences. Okay, so that's number four. Number five is the next statement. He said a safe place is what gets cultivated when freedom is expressed through love. When we express the spirit of liberty, the spirit of love in our culture, in our churches, in our families, that then we create the spirit of liberty, the freedom. The freedom. As a parent, do your child have the freedom to express his feelings or his thoughts about what he think about an issue? Or are you as a parent so dominating that the child don't have an opinion? And so we suppress his thought. We suppress his feeling because we don't give him a chance to express how he think about it, even if his views are different than ours. You see, then if we do not give him that choice or that freedom to express his idea or his view, even though it's different than ours, then we have just taken his liberty from him. So now we are in the realm of controlling him instead of letting him learn how to walk in his liberty. And that comes through the testing. That comes through the testing. You tell a parent, tell a child, don't put that fire is hot. Don't touch that. That's hot. Okay, you know the rule. You know that's hot because you heard it, but you don't know what hot is because you never experienced hot. Okay, so now what you're going to go do to the child, you're going to go put your hand next to it to see how close you can get to it. So you eventually you get burned. Now you know what that feel like. That's hot. That's hot, so I'm not going to do that no more. But sometimes your child goes through the same period of in Christianity, like he does in home. You go to the point where the rules are taught, the rules are explained, but sometimes you have to experience it in order to understand it. Because you just can't take my word for it. You see, so it's the same thing that the Bible talks about in one of the prophets. It said there's a lion down the street, you know, but because you so excited the lion is down the street, you want to see what it looked like and what it's doing. You go down the street where it is, you know, instead of taking the wisdom, don't go that way. Don't go that way because a lion down there. But that's what people do. So we have to be willing, even in our leadership, to understand in our culture that there are going to be those who are going to err. They're going to abuse the liberty. But it's how we deal with them once they have abused the liberty. That has to be very clear and specifically how we're going to deal with this situation. Are we going to deal with it in love? Or are we going to deal with it in judgment or punishment? Young girl get pregnant, she's in the choir. One of the first things we're going to do is we're going to take her out, set her down, you know, and we're going to give her a year to recover or a year, some kind of judgment so that it doesn't spoil the other girls. We need some kind of example. And so we're going to do something because we understand what punishment. Punishment is always the judgment on error. So we look for how do we going to punish this person for their activity. But do we really need to punish every situation that happens in church or in kingdom? Or can we bring correction and love and forgiveness and allow grace and mercy in the healing of love to be poured into that as an anointing and an ointment on that person's sin? Christ says, through love and kindness have I drawn you. Through love and kindness. So if we deal with punishment, then people are not going to come to God because they see God as a punishing God. But God is a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. So we have to learn how, as leadership, not to be a terror to the sheep, but able to bring the sheep to the water and let them drink without judgment or without punishment, but know that the shepherd is here to protect you. It's to protect you. We have to come to that because so many people have this weird view of God as a God who has this hammer and waiting on you to commit sin so he can come down on top of you. He can come down on top of you. So a lot of people stay away from church because sometimes we have a warped view of God. Again, either the glass is half empty or is it half full. It's our perspective. It's our perspective. Okay? So that's number, what, five? Okay. The next sentence says, the essence of love is safety and connection. The essence of love is safety and connection. That's number six. The essence of love is safety and connection. If people don't feel safe to be themselves and don't feel a sense of connection with people around them, then it's hard to convince them that they are in a loving place. That they're in a loving place. If everybody's always judging me, you know, then therefore I'm going to feel convicted and condemned as a person among you. So eventually what I'm going to do is walk right back out the door because everybody's judging me every time I come in. Even if I've done something, even if the person have error and we know they have error, they went out of the will of God. But yet we must not be a community of judges, and we judge this person so harshly that this person have no liberty to walk among us. They're so contaminated, they're so condemned, they're so sinful and so wicked until they can't be a part of nothing in the church. Nobody wants to set bomb in church. You know, when people feel that kind of rejection, not saying that we do that, but if people feel that kind of rejection, then they're not going to have the liberty to come to church and worship with a free spirit. Because they're going to feel condemned. I don't qualify. I'm not good enough to worship because everybody around me is judging me for my sin. You know, that's not the atmosphere, the culture we want in our churches or in our homes or when people come around us. Even if I know you did something wrong, I'm not going to judge you and condemn you in that way. I'm going to show you grace, show you the favor of God, the love of God. Why? I'm here to draw you to the love of God and love on you with the love of God so you can get through what you're going through, get healed from what you're going through, and realize I love God too much to sin. God loved me too much for me to do that. I'm not going to hurt God. Once they get that conviction in their heart and that kind of revelation in their spirit, then they're going to hate sin. They're going to hate sin because they get the revelation of it. Why? Because that church showed me love. They showed me the heart of God, that God loves me. Okay, so number seven, I'm moving with a lot of things because we're closing toward the end of the school season, year, and you guys will be moving on to number two, year two, you know, and some will be moving on to graduation, so we're trying to finish as much as we can to get through this book. I want you to continue to read this even once you go to the next class. You get this in your spirit. I'm in a culture. I practice, I live this culture. It's not something I'm learning, and when I get next year, I feel to leave it, lose all of it. No, that's not what we're going to do. Okay? Isaiah 54:10, which is in the next paragraph, Miller ways of it. It says, italics design. It says, the mountains and the hills will be removed, but my kindness shall never leave you, nor shall my covenant of peace with you ever be removed. See, God has made a covenant of peace with us. And God says, heaven and earth will pass away first. The mountain and the sea will dry up and be removed before I remove my covenant of peace with you. See, God has called us to peace. Even though he knows sometimes we're going to abuse the liberty, yet he will not change the covenant. He will not change the covenant. So if God does any judgment, if God does any chastisement or correction, it always can be designed to bring us to peace. To bring us into his love. We got to know that. God is never here to punish us, to condemn us to hell. No, man make a choice to go there. God is always about saving us and delivering us and healing us and making us whole. He's always about that. So no matter what you do, whatever you go through, God is not going to condemn you to hell because of it. No, he's going to bring you to love and draw you back and bring healing in your life. He's always about that. He's always about that. So we got to know that. We got to know that. Okay. The very last part of page 155 is number 7, 8. Okay. Keep count with me. Okay. It says the word peace is literally the word shalom. The word peace is really the word shalom means peace. It means peace. And so when we speak about the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom, you know, the God of peace, God's all about peace. He's all about peace to bring us peace, restoration, healing, deliverance, wholeness, perfection. He's always about that. So even when the Jewish speak on the word shalom, when they're speaking to each other, they're saying the God of peace go with you. The peace of God go with you. The God of peace. So God is the God of peace. So make sure you get that on because that's probably going to be on your quiz tomorrow. You'll see that. Okay. Shalom. Okay. Well, now what I want you to do is go back with me to page 153. 153. Talk about create a safe place. Create a safe place. Say, why do you suppose free people are so difficult to lead? Remember, Jefferson said that free people are the most difficult people to lead because they carry because they are free. Right. We carry the power of choice. So he's going to go back over and give us some information on that as well. So why do you suppose free people are so difficult to lead? Well, I can tell you that the problem of leading free people is connected to a question about the universe that philosophers and theologians have worked on for centuries. It's connected to the fact that God, the leader of the universe, created us to be free. God trusted us with freedom. God trusted us with freedom. So C.S. Lewis presents a concise account of the situation in Mere Christianity. I love this. I love that's why I wanted to go back to it. God created things which had free will. That means creatures which can go either wrong or right. Some people think they can imagine a creature which was free but had no possibility of going wrong. He said, I cannot. If a thing is free to be good, it is also free to be bad. And free will is what has made evil possible. Free will is what has made evil possible. Free will. You know, and we ask ourselves, well, why did that man rape that woman? Why did that woman or that man kill their wife and their children? How could you imagine yourself ever doing something like that? You know, or the terrible things that we see going on wrong. How can people imagine hurting somebody else? It's because they have a free will of choice. Free will of choice. And they ask the question, where were God? Even when things happen to Christians, where were God? Why did God stop that? Because you got a free will. So the Bible said that heaven belongs to God, but earth belongs to men. So men have free will to make choices, and sometimes man chooses to go to a club and get stone drunk and try to drive his way home and wind up hitting somebody, and the person he hit wind up getting killed. Well, why didn't God stop that? Because man had a free will. He chose to abuse his freedom. And it causes condition and circumstances in the universe. It caused it to get out of balance. It caused bad things to happen. But people have the free will of choice. But they also got to realize, again, I said it earlier, that choices carry the weight of consequences. So why did the judge give him life in prison? It was a judgment behind his choice. He abused his free will, and so now it was taken from him. And that's what happened when we abuse our free will. We get a judgment, and a judgment take away our freedom from us because we abused it. And so when people come to church many times and the person violates the free will, the reason why the pastor has to bring a ruling is because, in order for the environment to stay free, we have to bring a rule. And so people say, well, he shouldn't have handled her like that. He shouldn't have handled that situation like that. But he had to bring a rule so everybody can stay free. This is what caused the environment to stay free. Because there are righteous rules of how we're going to conduct ourselves in the house of God. It has to be. So grace doesn't cover everything. Thank God for grace. I'm saved by grace. Okay, thank God for it. But grace can be abused. It can be abused. And that's what Apostle came back to share with us in Titus 2 and 11. It's talking about this is what grace teaches us. Right. You know, that grace has called us into this, but we shouldn't abuse it with our ungodly living. Right. Okay, Paul said everything is not expedient to me. Right. You know, I have a free will, but I don't have a free will to abuse my liberty. You see, and so people in church and sometimes even the world view of the church and how we do things sometimes can be very misleading. Misleading because, as Apostle told, we don't work by a democratic society. You know, we don't vote on the things of God. You know, God says what he means and mean what he says. And he tell you, if you don't do this or that, this is going to be the outcome of it. He said, I set before you life and death. Say, choose life. I'm giving you a quiz and giving you the answer at the same time. So you got to be blind, dumb, and crazy to miss this question. You know, so God said, I'm giving you the answer. So choose life that you may live, because if you choose death, you're going to die. You're going to choose to move outside of my will. It's going to produce death on you. Right. Romans still tells you the wages of sin is still death. It has not changed. It has not changed. Even though Jesus went to the cross and died and resurrected, the wages of sin is still death. It has not changed it. So God came to fulfill the law and not take it from us, but fulfill it. Because lying is still wrong. Fornication is still wrong. Homosexuality is still wrong. Lesbianism is still wrong. All those activities are still wrong. Drunkenness, fornication, two Christian people saved, love Jesus, born again, cast out the devil, sleeping together, unmarried, it's still wrong. It doesn't make it right. And we say, well, where's the grace in that? There's a grace. There's a grace, but there's also going to be a correction. There's got to be a correction so everybody else can stay free. They can stay free. But people become very bitter when you start talking about rules and regulations. You know, because people don't want to choose to live by rules. You know, I shared with my youth group a couple of years back that being 18 is not a license to sin. You know, people think once I get 18, I graduate from school, get my mom and dad a diploma, I'm free. I can go do what I want to do. No, you're not. Life has consequences. Life has consequences, and if you don't listen to us and what we've been training you and teach you, you're going to learn those consequences. You're going to learn those consequences. You know, but its idea is our parents create an environment for safety for their children like pastors do for the church. We can allow sin to run rapid in church because now we're going to create a culture of sinning and think sinning is acceptable. We can't allow that. But through love, we bring correction. Through love, we bring correction and direction for those who may abuse the liberty. Okay? He also goes here and says, he says, why then did God give them free will? Because free will, though it makes evil possible, is also the only thing that makes possible any love of goodness or joy worth having. You will never discover that your wife loves you if you have to punish her all the time. You know, no, she has to love you by free will. She has to love you by free will. If you got to change up every time you leave home, that ain't going to work. I mean, you done stifled her will, her joy, her peace. I mean, it's imprisonment. It's imprisonment. No, it has to be free will of choice. If she leave home and go to the store, she go to the movie or wherever she going, it's have to be her free will of choice to stay, keep the covenant. Same thing with the men. If he leave to go to the football game with his guy and go to Las Vegas with his guy, without his wife, but with his friend guys, whatever, he has a free choice that he must keep himself. God ain't going to make him keep himself, but God will warn him about his activity. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. But the idea is he must choose to keep himself in the covenant of the relationship. He has a free will. So a lot of people want to use tactics to control each other. That is not marriage. That is not love. That is not joy by using tactics. Fear tactics or control tactics. That doesn't work in relationship. You're in hell to be in that situation. You're tormented. Your spirit, you no longer have the spirit of freedom because you're walking in fear. You're walking in fear. And so we have to be able to learn how to walk in love, walk in compassion, so that the Spirit of God can have a free course. The Spirit of God has a free course. Amen? So just for a few moments, Dr. Walker probably mentioned it to you, I think he did, about the first-year students that we each year we give Apostle and Mom Thompson, the founders of the school, a love gift of appreciation, the first year and the second year student, the online student, and also the alumni. We all take time to give a gift of love and thank Apostle and Mom Thompson. So we want to encourage those by online and those who are in class, you know, to participate. I'm sure Dr. Walker will give more insight and direction on about the giving. And so we just want you to be able to give online. We have a system signed up. You can give online to make this happen. Okay, as well as in class. So I'm sure you'll get more follow-up on it, but we just started to implement it now so we can get started for it. Okay, got it. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. We love you guys. Y'all have a great night, okay? God bless you. All right. Bless you. All right.